Welcome, welcome, welcome back to Forward Pressing, episode 87. Kevin here. I got Giannis with me, bro. How you doing?
You doing good, bro. Chilling. I think we should record on Monday more often.
We were supposed to record this past weekend, and we had some real-life complications come up, so we ended up rescheduling for Monday, and that means we have weekend content to add to the pod, and boy, do we have content. One extra day of delay between our recording day, like when we were supposed to and when we're actually doing it, and we get two manager sackings to talk about. Should we just get right into it?
Yeah, we should, because there's a lot to talk about.
So, Chelsea sacked Potter. Conte gets sacked also. I mean, that was earlier. And Brendan Rodgers gets sacked. And Rodgers was the one that was the most... and Nagelsmann, but that was also before. But this weekend, we get Potter and Brendan Rodgers. Brendan Rodgers is the one that we thought like was the most likely. Not really surprised of like having it happen now. Potter, I think we were discussing this offline where, I'm not sure if we talked about it on the last pod, but I kind of thought, I was kind of more leaning he's not finishing the season. There's just no way with how Chelsea are going. I think you were kind of saying that he probably finishes the season.
At least.
The only thing that was like a question in my mind as to why he would still remain the coach is that they're still in the Champions League. So I was like, Maybe keeps them until that's over, and then maybe they make a decision. But I mean, they wasted no time. Another bad result, and it was kind of like we got the Fabrizio tweet where it was like, oh, now the board believed in him, but now there's extra pressure. And then it was like the next day, it was just like there's extra pressure, and he's gone.
I mean, when I said earlier when we started, like I thought you were when you said that to me, I thought you were joking. And it was April 2nd, so I was like, yeah, maybe he's a bit late on the April 1st jokes, but I didn't think it was an actual, like, I didn't think it was actually true until I saw Fabrizio's tweet. Because I saw Rodgers first.
Exactly, you texted me, like, Rodgers sacked, then I responded, Potter sacked.
like, right after, one after the other. It was that's why it was, like, a crazy day. You don't expect to see, like, two managers sacked in the span of, like, an hour, I guess.
Yeah,
I mean, by the days. Depending on how close Fabrizio tweeted that, but yeah, it was. I mean, on Rodgers, real quick, like, yeah, it was expected sort of.
I mean, they're in the relegation zone.
Yeah, Leicester's not having a good season at all, and they have too much quality to be where they are currently. So, I think honestly, it's kind of surprising that it happened this late. And I mean, I understand that Rodgers is still a quality coach and. He's done enough to like deserve a chance, but I think it was too far gone at that point.
I mean, exactly. I'm not really surprised, and I feel like, I mean, they're the second worst team in the league right now. Like they've fallen behind Leeds, they've fallen behind Bournemouth, they're behind Forest, like all these teams. The relegation battle this season is going to be insane. We have 10 games left in the season, and between the 13th place and 20th place, there's 5 points difference. Like literally anything can happen. Like any of those teams, I feel like could go one bad result from you and the team behind you gets a win, and you're jumping up 3 spots, and the next thing you know, you're in the relegation zone as well. So it's pretty scary for Leicester, who have been like a staple, like kind of top six team in the Prem, ever since they won the league. So.
Yeah, and they're playing their next game is against Villa, who's like one of the best informed teams in the league right now. So that's
I mean they just beat Chelsea. Chelsea's now in the bottom 10. I think that's kind of what happened. Like Chelsea, I mean, they should be fighting for top fours, and now like they're in 11th place. They're in the bottom half of the table. As soon as Potter gets sacked, you start seeing the Nagelsmann links. Which I know we've talked about this enough. Like we haven't really had any explanation as to what happened at Bayern. Like the results weren't like terrible. Still top of the league. They were still doing amazing in the Champions League. They were like one of the favorites. I mean, he's had a couple like of bad performances, but I feel like that's kind of happens to any team. Something's off there, man. I don't know.
From what I read, like I told you, like I read the Athletic what they wrote on it. I'm sure there's gonna be more in the future, but from what I've read, my main takeaway is that there's a few things. Like first, like in terms of the team, like the players weren't too fond of the tactics. There was a lot of confusion as to what the system was supposed to be, especially with the veteran players. And I think some of them weren't really happy with like the substitutions, especially when you substitute like Thomas Mueller early and he's not satisfied. Like, that's one of the players you don't want to like piss off, obviously.
Yeah, I mean, he's a Bayern legend.
He's a Bayern legend. And I think when he, I think he sacked Neuer's goalkeeping coach, and that Neuer didn't take that lightly. That was a while ago, but that's, I mean, that's just like, you know, like one strike, two strikes. And then there's a few things with like the system that the players weren't really like understanding. And that's just a few things. And then afterwards, I think there was a mention of they had Tuchel in mind for a while, but Tuchel, because he already, apparently Tuchel was already in Munich. Like, he lives in Munich right now. And apparently, like, he didn't want them to wait. It was like, either you take me now or you don't take me, because the Spurs job was open. And I think Tuchel was mentioned for the Spurs job as well. So I feel like he was kind of pressuring Bayern to like making a decision right now. And that kind of pushed Bayern into, I guess, going, taking the executive decision on getting rid of Nagelsmann right away. And I mean, they didn't have, I mean, Champions League, were they were, I think they were perfect, but in the league they had a couple losses where you could like quite, you can kind of question them. But I mean, you can see from the game this weekend, like, they dismantled Dortmund, and it seems like it's back to like normal for Bayern now. So we'll see. They probably are a better team with Tuchel than they were with Nagelsmann. I mean, we'll have to see, but it's basically the same players, so nothing really changes.
I mean, that's the thing with Bayern, though. I feel like they're such a well-oiled machine, and you have so many of the key pieces that have been there for so long that you kind of need a manager that's not gonna put too much of a spin on the lineup. I feel like Nagelsmann probably, like, you know, he had a lot of success at Leipzig, right? Like, and same league, same we know the system works.
Same,
like,
it's league, better players.
Exactly. So it kind of really begs the question of, like, what's the difference between going from Leipzig to Bayern, right? Like, he should have better players. We know the system works in the league. He's had success before in the same league. So you kind of ask the question, why does it not work? And it kind of just feels like maybe Bayern, you know, they're at that point and level where they don't need a lot of, like, coaching. Not to say that the coach does nothing, but there are teams like that where you see, like, they've been there, they've done that before, they know what to do. And the coaching style that's needed for players like that is a way more like, I want to say indirect, or not too involved, I would say, to have success.
I would say, to kind of go add to what you're saying, I guess the way I would put it is that, if you look at Chelsea and Bayern, for example, right? So Bayern is good enough to win in spite of Nagelsmann's issues, in spite of like the system having problems and stuff. Because they have the quality, they have better players in general than the league, right? So they can win, they basically, despite his...
Yeah, they're winning with raw talent. They're like forcing their wins.
Whereas Chelsea has great players, but the coaching is such a key part for them that they can... Yeah, they have enough players that they should be able to win without Potter's miscues, but they weren't able to do that. So I kind of tells you that they needed more coaching, especially when the new players, because a lot of them are new. Like, they brought 7 players, I think, in the transfer window, if I remember correctly.
Yeah.
And, like, there's definitely need of coaching at that point. And when it doesn't work, it's bad. And, I mean, we're seeing it right now. He's not – Potter's been sacked. So, yeah, I think that's the difference of, like, yeah, you have enough players, you have enough quality to win in the game, but despite of your coach's mistakes or, I guess, confusions in the system, versus you having the quality players but not the right system. And it's just a mess.
Yeah, like, I want to compare it to, if anybody out there is also a hockey fan, like, the Tampa Bay Lightning have been at the top of basically the league for the last, like, 3 or 4 years, 5 years, where they're just, they've gone through some struggles where they've choked in the playoffs, but then they win back-to-back titles. And at this point, I mean, John Cooper is the coach of the Lightning. He's one of the best coaches in the league. He's also one of the longest tenured coaches of the league. And he has, like, a way different approach now than he did before, because the team knows what they like, what to do. They've had success for so long that right now it's kind of more about knowing when to say something or when not to say something, and where you can have more of an impact in that way, and kind of like managing the players, not necessarily managing the tactics type of thing. I think Bayern is really good at that, because, like, we've seen they have so many of the same players, right? Like, year after year, they have so much continuity. Not like one of the teams that just goes out and buys new star players every year. They have, like, their core guys that have always been there. And
yeah, you know, and, how to and have you, success, don't wanna, so. you don't want to have them against you. Like it's exactly. One thing to have the locker room against you, and I'm pretty sure there was a few like question marks. But to have your veterans, that's where you don't want to like you don't want to put them against you, because that's when you lose the locker room. And I think that's definitely really overall, like that's probably one of the main issues, is that he kind of lost the locker room to an extent. But I am still surprised. Yeah, I felt like he was, because you have to remember too, like the guy's like under 35.
Yeah, he's young. He was an up and comer.
Yeah,
I think he gets a Chelsea job, and I think he's gonna. I think he'll do well.
I don't think you get the Chelsea job. I don't think so. No, I mean to close it off, the Bayern. I think the Bayern may have been a bit too early for him. But overall, like him getting Chelsea, I think like I get what he's mentioned, and there's a high chance that he gets it. I would probably go for Pochettino, honestly.
I don't think the Bayern job was too early for him personally. I feel like it was just wasn't a good match. I feel like on paper it seemed like a good match because, you know, same league, you know, it kind of feels like everything is the same, just better players to work with. But I feel like he's a kind of a coach or manager now that we can kind of see has a system that he likes to play and wants his players to fit in that system instead of kind of like molding the system to the players. I feel like he has the style that he wants to play, and he wants to fit the players in the style, like the puzzle pieces. But I feel like Chelsea, they have so many players that can do various things. I feel like he could kind of implement that system, because the system is what that team lacks. That team isn't talented enough to, you know, like kind of like force their way to some wins. Like if they don't have some structure that's coherent, they're not going to win games. Like we've seen it all season, where, you know, this team has so much talent. They keep spending money. They keep buying, like, huge players. And yet they're not having any success. They're in the bottom half of the table. They're losing to teams like Villa, who have some quality players. But, I mean, on paper, Chelsea should be beating them 9 times out of 10, you know?
I think my main problem with that is, I mean, on the Villa point, honestly, if Unai Emery was there, I think Chelsea would have taken Unai Emery because he has experience. But honestly, in terms of Nagelsmann, my main issue is that he doesn't have any Prem experience. Chelsea doesn't have time to like for him to like learn the league, right? They need to win, and they need to win now, which is why I do think that Pochettino might be the best option, just because he knows more what the league is about. He's obviously experienced with the league. He knows the Prem, right? Even though he didn't win it, but he's got close to it. I do feel like he's the better option overall, just because of how urgent the situation is with Chelsea, and how bad they need to win. Plus, he's not a bad manager. He can actually do something against Madrid, and he has a chance of beating them.
The thing is, I feel like I agree with Pochettino being a better option because he's had success in the Prem before. But I kind of feel like at this point, Chelsea, like, what are they? Like, they're not finishing top four. There's no way. The season is too far gone, right? And are you signing a manager just so you can beat Madrid? Like, there's no way. Like, you can't be that short-sighted, right? I feel like at this point, this season is kind of chalked. Like, they're not going to have any kind of success that they thought they were going to have going into the season. And at this point, you make a signing for next year. You make a signing, and I feel like that would be perfect for Nagelsmann because, you know, he gets the rest of the season with low expectations because, I mean, I think the only thing that, like, whether you finish 7th or whether you finish 14th, it doesn't really make a difference at this point for Chelsea. I mean, appearance-wise, obviously. And I think they'll still fight for maybe that top 6, try to get a Europa League spot. But there's not really much else. Like, they're not competing for top 4. There's no way. I feel like it would be great for Nagelsmann to come in, you know, have the rest of the season to kind of, like, find his way and start getting the players in on the system and see what pieces he can use and what pieces he can't use. And then next season, you know, you have the whole off-season to work with that, and then you go into next season kind of with like already a buffer. But I don't think Pochettino would be a bad option either. I feel like Pochettino wouldn't go to Chelsea, but I don't know why. That's just a gut feeling.
There's also been talk of the Sporting Lisbon manager actually for Chelsea as another option. Sporting, I don't know if you follow Sporting Lisbon, but I mean, you've seen them against Arsenal. They look pretty good. Yes. I can't remember his name. I think it's Bruno Amorim. If I'm just right, I apologize, but he could be an option as well. I mean, Portuguese, there's never a bad I don't really know too many bad Portuguese coaches, so I don't. I mean, it would be an interesting idea as well. But like I said, another coach that doesn't have prem experience, and you need wins now. Even though I get that, like, you kind of like to, you kind of have to fall for this season, and you can't really expect anything big. But you have Madrid. You have a quarterfinal. If you've been Madrid at this point, anything is possible in the semis. So if you want to put all cards on your side, I would probably lean towards Pochettino more than Nagelsmann. I mean, they could both, they could easily both win against Madrid. Not saying that. I mean, I have Chelsea. I had Chelsea winning it with Potter. I don't know if I'm leaning towards this anymore, but I do feel like Pochettino might be the best bet here. I mean, besides, like, it's not like Nagelsmann's not gonna get the job. He's gonna get an offer somewhere.
I saw Fabrizio tweet that Nagelsmann was the top option at the moment after sacking. I feel like that's the most likely scenario right now, but obviously you never know. And I wonder if they'll make a decision really quick or if they'll take their time. Because, I mean, the interim coach is not doing too hot either. I mean, one result this weekend and 2-0 loss.
And I think you're playing Liverpool soon, too. Next week, I think.
Yeah, I mean, Liverpool haven't been too hot either, but...
But they need wins, and they need wins now. Like, it doesn't matter. Honestly, at this point, it doesn't matter who the coach is, but they need wins badly. The plan Boli has not started on the right path, and so far they need to rectify that real quick. But let's talk about the last coach, the Conte, because that one was interesting too.
After swore off Spurs, saying that no matter who's coaching here, the results will be the same. This team plays for nothing, and then they go out and have a result like that. I mean,
they kind of justified. They kind of proved him right in a sense.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, Spurs is a team where it seems like although you have one of the best players in the league in Harry Kane, if not the best striker at least, there's solid players, it's a quality team, but, bro, the results aren't there, the trophies aren't there. You have a beautiful stadium, you have the biggest stadium in Europe, but you have no trophies. It kind of makes me think like, what is Spurs like? Because I know we talked about Daniel Levy a few times, and like, how we kind of argue that he is more so about profit than it is about success. And, I mean, Spurs' like track record kind of shows that. But, I mean...
He's too stubborn to have success.
Too stubborn. Or is he just because he's about the bread. He's about the green paper. And it doesn't matter if they're getting success or not, because people are going to show up at the stadium regardless, because we're Spurs and we have the best stadium in the league. And stuff like that. But if you don't win, it's like, at what point do you like say, like, all right, let's rectify here? And it's not like you have the bat. You have players to do it. You just, it just never like works.
Yeah, Kane is leaving in the offseason. There's no way he stays. I mean, there's not a manager in the world you can sign that would keep him there.
At this point, maybe Nagelsmann, maybe? I don't know.
If they keep him there, it's against his will. That's guaranteed.
Yeah. I don't know, bro. I mean, I don't remember the entire rant, but the fact that he talked about the standard being poor, and that's what I remember the most about, is like, yeah, that's very true. That's very true. It feels like at Spurs, when people talk about Spurs, like, they don't talk about Spurs as a trophy team. Like, they're not expecting anything any year.
They're always a meme.
They're like, oh, yeah.
Conte went on that rant, and then he basically warned everybody else, like, we've seen managers come and go through here, and nothing changes. The results are the same.
Your culture is what it is.
Exactly. So he kind of said what the expectations are and how things are, and he said nothing's gonna change. And there's kind of one constant that's always there, right? So,
It's kind of unfortunate, because I remember when Pochettino got there, and like, they were nowhere near where they were today. And he brought him to such a high level. I feel like, I mean, obviously, really, whether he was there or not now, like, would it change things? We'll never know. But it feels like it was a step in the wrong direction with getting rid of him, especially at that time.
Yeah, now, I feel like he didn't know what they had until he's gone, type of thing.
At the same time, too, like, you had Mourinho and you sacked him before a final that like, you could probably would have won, which probably is
that's wild.
Yeah, that's wild.
Especially when you know your history of, like, no titles.
Yeah. And you replace him with Ryan Mason.
Not ideal.
Do you know who Ryan Mason is?
No.
He played for Spurs, but then he had to retire because of injury. He had to retire early. And that's the guy.
One of the in-house guy.
Literally, it's like, bro, worst possible. The one time you actually could get a trophy, you have the best coach for it because he could get you a win for one game and you just sack him. That's when I lost respect for Daniel Levy, honestly. That was ego driven. I felt like it was more internal than it was external. Like, that was the dumbest move ever in terms of the club.
So now let me ask you the question: like, do we see kind of a coaching carousel happen? Like Nagelsmann to Chelsea, Potter to Leicester, Brendan Rodgers. I don't know where Brendan Rodgers goes.
He's gonna go somewhere. I don't know if he's getting realistically, Brendan Rodgers will probably not get the job this season. In the summer, most likely. I think Nagelsmann, obviously I said Pochettino, but I think ultimately Chelsea will go with Nagelsmann. I think Potter will not get a job this season, but probably get a job in the summer, most likely Spurs.
You think Leicester get a manager or no?
Oh yeah, I forgot Leicester, you're right. Maybe
Potter, I think seems like the perfect option for Leicester.
Yeah, but do they get him now just to like try to survive for the season?
I think they got to do everything they can to try to survive.
True. Maybe they do. I mean, honestly, if he doesn't get the Leicester job like soon, he'll probably get the Spurs job in the summer. That would be my bet. Because he's shown enough that he can definitely coach in the Prem. It's just that Chelsea just didn't work. It wasn't a good match. I feel like it's...
Sometimes it's just not a good match.
It's not a good match. I feel like he's shown enough at Brighton that he's going to get another shot. I just thought about it. We didn't talk about Vieira getting sacked from Crystal Palace too, right?
That was kind of an odd one because they started the season kind of hot, right? And then everybody was kind of talking about Vieira being like another one of those player-turned coaches that's successful. And then kind of didn't hear about him for a while. And then they kind of just had bad results. And then next thing you know, he's gone. It kind of felt like it happened and everybody moved on right away. Like nobody kind of addressed it.
I think because there was, I don't know if it was during the international break or whatnot, but no, it was actually a bit early before, but like, apparently it wasn't such a good sending off, I guess. People weren't too happy about it, especially the players. But yeah, I mean, that happened too. And then Roy Hodgson gets there and they start winning again. So Roy Hodgson got hired by Crystal Palace at least 3 times, I think.
He's the ultimate, like, there's nobody else, will you come do this for us again type of thing.
Yeah. There's another one too. He used to coach West Ham. I can't remember. What's his name? Harry? No, not Redknapp. He coached West Ham. I think he coached Bolton as well back in the day. His name I just completely forgot. Maybe that's the guy Leicester should go for. Because they're always good for relegation battles. Look at Steve Bruce. Steve Bruce survived, like, puts everything back on the map somehow.
It always happens.
Yeah, it always happens. So maybe they should go for that one. I can't remember his name, but anyways, yeah. I hope Leicester survives. Honestly, like at this point.
Yeah, they're one of the teams that I feel like everybody would kind of like can get on board with, like wanting in the Prem. You know.
Yeah, I mean, it feels like it was only like last year that they've won the league.
I don't know about like that.
I mean, it hasn't been that long ago.
I mean, it's been almost 10 years, no?
Nah, 20 was it 2016?
Nah, it was earlier than that, I think.
2016 or 2015, one of the two. Sam Allardyce, that's the coach of the show.
Oh, Sam Allardyce.
Yeah. Get him. Or Tony Pulis. A relegation expert.
Wait, let me ask you, do you think Klopp gets sacked?
Oh, I think he survives the season.
You said the same thing about Potter when I asked you, so.
Yeah, but
I don't think you're a word for anything, but.
Yeah, but no, but like Klopp. Thought. Is a different situation. Like, he's been at Liverpool for a while. It's just one bad season. Like, Potter just it didn't work out from day one.
Bro, Ten Hag is like the ninth most tenured manager of the Premier League.
And he's just got there, like, what, this year?
Yeah.
The Premier League has no patience. That's the thing with the Premier League. No patience. Yeah, it's like
no patience, no loyalty. You could win a title the next season. You're not doing well. You're out. That's how it goes. Yeah.
That's not what the Di Matteo did. He got the Champions League with Chelsea. Nothing. He got sacked.
Yeah,
that was wild, bro. There's no.
They go through managers, man. Chelsea goes through managers. Like 3 seasons, and you're a god there. Like Mourinho's, I think, the only one that lasted that long.
They never get 2 in 1 season, though. They rarely get 2 in 1 season. That's like, I think that's, they were saying that Boehly did something that Abramovich never did, which is like get two coaches in the same season, or sack two coaches in the same season, rather. Yeah, at least give you a season for that. But yeah, that was interesting. That was odd. I really wonder how this coaching carousel will go. Like you, like I said, I do probably, it's most likely that Nagelsmann will get Chelsea. I wonder who's going to get Spurs, if not Potter, though. That could be interesting. Because that's the real, the big one. It's like, okay, like who takes over this this mess? Because if they want to keep Harry Kane, there's gonna be
I know you said Harry there's Kane.
I know you keep saying that, and I do agree with you. But like, if there was somehow a way for them to keep him, it would have to be like a significant coaching change.
They'd have to get like Zidane, and even then,
Zidane go to Spurs, bro. That'd be dumb. I mean, Pochettino's still available. I'm surprised Pochettino doesn't have a job yet, honestly.
I feel like he's waiting. I feel like he's finally decided to be strategic, so which is good for him.
That's what I'm
he's had a couple of bad matches.
Right,
so.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. Like, Chelsea, yo, he's right there, bro. He's right there. Go for him.
I feel like he'd
do
well.
I think he was nothing, too. I think he would do that at Chelsea, too. But I haven't seen any mentions of him in any, like, rumors. It's only been Nagelsmann or the Portuguese coach.
I think it's gonna be, I think Chelsea get Nagelsmann. I think Potter goes to Leicester ultimately. Where does Conte go? That I don't know.
I think he's gonna chill out for a bit.
He's gonna chill. I mean, he just went on a huge rant. I feel like that's another thing. Like, he went on this huge rant. He kind of warned all these other managers of the Spurs situation, and I feel like everybody's gonna be kind of hesitant to go there now. Not that it was like a big surprise, but exactly. That's the thing. To see these managers come and go, and these big names come and go, and like all have terrible experiences. I feel like that kind of like shies some people away.
It's also a thing of like, sorry to interrupt, but there's also a thing about like how the coach, when the coach and your director, like the GM essentially, aren't on two different pages, like it never works.
No.
It's always when, like, if you look at Arteta and Edu right now, like they're on the same page in terms of recruitment and the way that they want to play. And it shows, like, Arsenal is doing so great today because of how united they are in terms of their ideas. And that, you can definitely say that for Spurs, like, I don't know who the GM is there, but I know Levy kind of has a lot of influence on them. I think it was Paratici, actually. He got sacked recently. There's definitely no correlation. There's no, like, I guess, communication, or at least they're not on the same page. And that kind of shows that, like, okay, you can't, if we can't be on the same page and you buy players that I do not want, now we're stuck. And at the end of the day, like, the coaches are always going to be the first one to leave, so. Or at least the first one to get targeted. So it's like a bad, it's like a, I don't know what's the word, recipe for disaster, essentially.
Yeah. We haven't mentioned United at all yet. I think it's definitely worth mentioning. I mean, 2-0 defeat to Newcastle. Newcastle's a good team, though. That's a top four team.
No, it's not a bad, I mean, it's a bad luck, but it's a good team. So it's like, okay, fair enough.
Yeah. I mean, you definitely should have won that game. We gotta talk about Casemiro because obviously, like, he's the big one. Like, the difference in play of our team between when he's on the pitch and when he's not on the pitch is like super drastic. I feel like we just don't have an answer for that midfield when he's not there, and that's when you kind of realize like how important he is. And you know, we're still missing Eriksen. We lost Van de Beek. We just don't have as much depth there anymore. And Sabitzer came in to definitely like help strengthen that position with some depth. But you can tell that that's a position that we're going to address the next time we have a transfer window.
I was sort of expecting a little more from McTominay, especially after the international break that he had, like smacking Spain by himself, basically. But like, maybe it is a lot for him to be like the starter for United. And then I don't know if you're interested, but what about Sean Longstaff? Sean Longstaff?
Longstaff?
Like, Longstaff? I mean, he was linked to us.
He was linked to us last season or the season before, but we never like pursued him seriously. I just think that it's kind of tough. We're kind of forcing players to play certain positions that may not be their best position. Like Weghorst is still playing at the top. He still plays a 10 sometimes. He's obviously not the solution there, right? But we don't really have a choice. Martial finally made an appearance after some injuries, which was nice to have him back. Yeah. I think he did well when he came on, but obviously he was a little bit rusty. But if he can get back onto the starting 11, like, it'll be great. That means we won't have to play Weghorst at the top anymore. And we've been playing him at the 10 because Bruno has to go play a little bit deeper because Casemiro was out. So it's kind of just like everybody kind of gets shifted and it's really bad. Like, we played McTominay as a 10 at some point last game, which obviously is not his strong suit. So I feel like we were just kind of like mixing and matching. And I think Ten Hag got the tactics wrong last game. But I feel like he was just kind of trying something to see how it would work. Obviously, it's not a permanent solution. It was kind of just trying to see what we could do with the pieces that we currently have. But I feel like if you add like a Harry Kane instead of at the top, and you know, you bring in another midfielder,
two new midfielders, honestly,
you can. But I mean, like, if Rashford's able to play on the wing, on the left, on the right, you have Sancho or Anthony. At the top, you have Harry Kane. At the 10, you keep Bruno. In the middle, you have Casemiro and whoever else. You bring in another midfielder. I think that ends up being your key starting 11 there. But definitely disappointing result. We have a tough.
Correct me if I'm wrong. So is Sabitzer on loan or?
Yeah, it's a loan. I think they're saying that he wants to stay, apparently, which is nice because, like, usually it's. I feel like usually the loan deals. The thing is, we don't have a loan with option to buy, but he said he wants to stay. So that's when it becomes tricky. Like, you see, like, Cancelo, who's at Bayern on loan, like, they said they don't want to keep him when the loan is up, pretty much.
Yeah, because he's too expensive.
And he said he wants to stay. So
yeah, exactly, because he doesn't want to play for Guardiola anymore.
Yeah. So that's kind of like they're in a disagreement there. So I feel like it's easier when the player wants to stay and the player isn't costing an arm and a leg like Cancelo is. So we'll see if that happens. I would gladly have him as long as he knows he's kind of going to be in a rotation, but which I feel like he kind of understands. But yeah, I think one more transfer window will be really great for us. With Casemiro back, I feel like we get back to form. The thing is, we definitely have the toughest Europa League matchup. We play Sevilla, which that could honestly be the final once again.
Oh yeah. Oh my God! If it's Sevilla, boy, you might as well just pack up now because you know they're winning that.
Sevilla in the Europa League is a different demon, but right. If we win, I feel like the winner of our matchup is gonna be the favorite to win it since Arsenal are not in it anymore.
Yeah. Thanks for the reminder. I appreciate that.
I mean, listen, choke the Sporting. I mean,
Bro, Sevilla in the Europa is so much different than Sevilla in the league.
For sure. For sure. Well, you guys don't play Sevilla. You guys play Sporting.
They've been bad in the league this year, bro. I thought at one point they were like relegated, potentially relegated.
Really? Wait, I didn't know they were that bad. What the fuck?
They were facing relegation like early. They haven't won in like the first 2 months they've seen. They didn't win a game, I think. I don't think I'm exaggerating when I'm saying like yeah, Sevilla was bad. Like even if you look now, like bro.
I didn't know they were doing that bad.
Yeah, like they're mid-table now, but they started bad, bro. Champions League didn't win a game. The first month, they barely won a game. And, like, yeah, now they're back into somewhat good of a form, but it's going to be a good matchup for you guys. I think it's going to be a good test. I'm expecting you guys to win, honestly. But if it's Sevilla, you never know.
If we get healthy, I think Eriksen is starting to work out again. Like, he may be getting close. I think that's going to be a big boost to the team because he's definitely a creative presence in that midfield. Would also allow Bruno to play a little bit more as a 10 again.
All in all, though,
Bruno's been a killer this season. Bruno's I feel like we're not talking about it enough, but he's had an impact in almost every game.
When he doesn't play out wide, he's a nasty. When he plays out wide, he's a liability.
Well, that's the thing. Like when he plays out wide, I think it's just because of out of need. But he hasn't been playing out wide much when Sancho has come back and Anthony has been. Anthony had a good game. I'm surprised he got subbed off. This is Newcastle. I guess that's just how it goes sometimes, but
yeah, I changed the options. I was trying to see more of a Pelistri. Agundo Pelistri, I think he's nice. He's actually interesting. I started up a year ago and he looked pretty decent there too. So I hope he gets some more minutes.
I mean, with Garnacho out, he's getting more minutes. But I think as soon as Garnacho comes back, Garnacho has been a presence that we've missed too because he was coming on and he was a game changer. Every time he would come on, he was a super sub.
He's effective, very effective.
Very effective. I mean, obviously, he has that injury, and it was really pretty devastating. So when he comes back, I feel like that's another player off the bench that can really have an impact. Because right now, we don't really have anybody off the bench that can make a big difference. I mean, it's usually either Anthony or Sancho. The thing, yeah. But when Sandro doesn't start, it's Anthony. When Anthony starts, it's Sandro coming off the bench. But that's like our biggest like presence off the bench that we can do, because like Martial is finally coming back, which is nice.
But he's still like coming.
Yeah, obviously, he's obviously really rusty. But like bringing Fred off the bench or McTominay, that ain't it. Unless you're winning the game and you're trying just to kind of get a more like presence in the midfield there. Like if you're down or you need to give a spark, those aren't players that you're looking to bring in, you know, for creativeness. Mm-hmm. So yeah.
I think honestly, I just thought about this in terms of this, because you mentioned like that you guys needed a big window this summer, and I do agree with you.
Mm-hmm. I think we need a striker for sure.
A striker for sure, but I think you also need a midfielder. I think those are the two main. Like you need a striker and a midfielder. If you get those two, then you have a good. You'll have a good. You could be considered to have a good window.
Yeah.
We mentioned. I know Moses Caicedo got mentioned to Arsenal and like Chelsea a lot in the winter, but like I didn't see United on Moses Caicedo. That's surprising to me. Especially with your link with Valencia.
Yeah, we like get linked to everybody.
Yeah, but you have an actual Ecuadorian legend in your team. True. For him to... I feel like you should get him involved into, like, convince Caicedo to move to United instead of, like, Arsenal.
I mean, I won't be surprised to see us linked to him in the summer. Definitely won't be surprised.
And he's been balling ever since he came back. He's been on... absolutely consistent. I feel like he's a player that United could use a lot of. He's basically an improved Fred, if you ask me, really.
I mean, he's younger and more like he has more spark to his game a little bit. But I think United get either Harry Kane or Osimhen. I think we United get either one to two, and then I think we get a midfielder. I think it'll depend on what the market is like.
I know. Which one would you rather have?
I'd rather have Harry Kane, just because I feel like that's the you know you're getting results right now, and I feel like it fits at United very well. But I wouldn't be opposed to either. Not that I don't trust him, but it's definitely a little bit more risky than Harry Kane, who's one of the best strikers in the Premier League for I don't know how many years now.
He's a proven striker for
one of the best strikers in the world for multitude of years.
I agree. I think Harry Kane to United makes a lot of sense, actually.
It does. It does make a lot of sense. And everybody keeps saying it. That's why I feel like it's going to happen. It's the Van Persie effect. It's the, you know, you bring him.
I don't know if it's the Van Persie effect.
I mean, Van Persie, that was the missing piece from the previous year, right? We knew we needed a striker. We go in, we sign the best striker in the league, and then we win the league the next year. Not going to say that we're going to win the league if we sign Harry Kane, but it kind of gives that effect, right?
It's a major boost.
Yeah.
For sure, it's a major boost.
The comparison is there.
Yeah, it's a sign in the right direction. Honestly, I know Osimhen is probably... I don't think he's going to move because Napoli is not going to let him and Caracciola... Crava, for short, leave on the same window. They've already signed Crava for another extension. I think it's 2026, if I remember correctly. So I don't think they'll let Osimhen go for under 100, and I don't think he wants to leave yet. I don't see him at United. I see him more going to Chelsea. Because Chelsea also needs a striker, for being honest.
I mean, Chelsea keeps signing players. When are they going to stop signing players?
Low-key, I kind of miss it. I don't.
No, you don't.
I don't think Harry Kane to Chelsea makes a lot of sense just because of the Spurs ties. So I think he's going to lean towards United if the option is there, and it is there. But yeah, I think Gonçalo Ramos from Benfica is also another option that you guys could look at because he had a good World Cup. He's been pretty decent with Benfica this season. And Benfica players always do well when they leave Benfica, usually. So it's another option for you.
Yeah. I think I just want us to get whoever Ten Hag wants. I want us to do that. I don't want us to go for a big name just because it's a big name. I want us to get who he wants. So.
Like I told you earlier, when the manager and the GM or the general manager are on the same page when it comes to signings, it usually works well. And I mean, Arteta and Edu are proving it this season. Gabriel Jesus was the right move, and I mean, he's just coming back from injury and he scored this weekend. But it just shows, just in terms of signings, like they've been on the same page for together for a minute. And results are showing up. If we win the league this season, it'll just be a proof of that.
It's gonna be a tight finish. I feel like now with the no more European football, it definitely gives you guys a league boost, which is obviously gonna make you guys happy.
Yeah, like I was kind of disappointed of us getting beat by Sporting, but maybe it's a blessing in disguise in the end, because now we only have one competition to focus on.
Yeah. Who do you think wins, Bayern or Man City in the Champions League? That's probably a final, to be honest. That could have been that could have been the final.
I mean, from what I saw for Bayern this weekend, I'm probably gonna say Bayern, honestly. It's a toss up, but I lean.
I'm seeing a lot of City recently.
Yeah, I lean Bayern, especially the way they dismantled. They dismantled Dortmund in 20 minutes.
Yeah, but Dortmund isn't like the most compact system to dismantle either.
Yeah, I mean, to be fair too, like, it was a bad miss. Did you see the goal? Did you see the goals in that game?
Yes.
The first goal. The mistake was like by Kobo. That's a game changer, really, because it just demoralizes your whole team. Yeah. But still, for them to like dismantle them in 20 minutes is still it's a bad look on Dortmund. And honestly, like, I will tell you this, I think whether it was Nagelsmann and Tuchel, the result would have been the same.
You think?
Because Bayern is that good, yeah. They're good enough to beat Dortmund or any team in the league without a significant coach.
With no manager. The player's manager.
With no manager. Put Oliver Kahn from the GM. He's always in the seats. Just bring on the coach, he'll be all right. They'll find a way. Yeah, but they definitely need coaching against City, and Tuchel is probably the best guy for the job for that, which is why I probably lean Bayern.
Really? You think that makes that big of a difference?
I think so. He's played City how many times, and I think he has a decent record against them.
But it goes both ways, right? Pep has definitely played against Tuchel before, and he used to coach this Bayern team. Don't forget. So
true. And there's a lot of players that he knows from there as well.
Yeah.
Wait, can Cancelo play that?
I don't think it makes much of a difference.
No, I think if you're like, if you can't play for the team you got loaned to, or maybe that's a league thing.
Yeah, I think it's a league thing.
I'd have to check.
But I'm not sure.
Because that could be key if he doesn't play. Pavard is having a good season overall, but like Cancelo is a massive boost for Bayern, and I feel like they got him specifically for Champions League games. And if he can't play because he's playing against his old team, then that's like a massive loss for them. I have to check. I wonder if he can do that, because that's a big like factor. They don't have the right. I mean, obviously they have enough like power. They have enough like depth out wide, but having Cancelo is a big boost for them. I wonder if he can play. We'll see. I want to end on this Milan-Napoli thing, because I didn't expect this. I didn't expect Milan to destroy Napoli at Napoli, especially considering that they're meeting up like in a couple weeks for the quarterfinal.
Do you think it's a one-off thing, or do you think Milan went in their bag for this one?
The only reason why I think it's a one-off thing is because Osimhen wasn't playing.
That's definitely a difference.
That's a big difference, because
he's like he's the biggest presence in the league this year in the Serie A.
At the same time, too, I think Leao had one of his best games. Leao has been been Milan's best player this season, and he's been linked with Chelsea and like Arsenal. Milan cannot afford to lose Leao. That's my takeaway from that game. Like, he's too important for this team for them to lose him, because he's so effective out wide in terms of chance creation and just like creating chances in terms of shot on goal or like key passes and stuff. He's way too important for Milan to lose. They cannot afford to lose him.
I don't think they will.
I hope not, because he's been linked to Chelsea a lot. And I mean, that was at the same time that during the same time they also went for Mudryk and they got Mudryk. I don't think Chelsea would add another winger. Although it is Chelsea, so you never know. But I really hope Leao doesn't leave Milan. Just because if he does, it's a massive step back for them.
Do you think maybe Napoli is kind of on coasting mode in the league? I mean, they're just so far ahead.
Yeah,
like,
they can afford
16 points ahead. Like, they could lose the next 5 games and still be ahead.
This is a loss that they can't afford. They can definitely afford it just because of how good they've had of a season so far. But
do you think
a
mental aspect came into play there?
I think so. Because honestly, if it was Inter, I don't think we'd be talking about this because it's like, oh, it's a one-off. It's Inter. Inter's not close to Napoli. But because it's not, because it's Milan, and you're playing Milan in the quarterfinals, that makes it a big thing.
Well, it could be that they didn't want to kind of show their hand before the quarterfinals. That's not impossible.
I mean, they didn't play most of the. I mean, they had the same. Kim Min-jae was playing. He's the best defender. He was playing. I think for the most part, outside of Osimhen, everybody else played. Kvaratskhelia was there. I think maybe Lozano wasn't there, but for the most part, everybody was there. Zielinski. I don't think Zielinski played actually. But they had most of their starters. Like, it was a big game for them. They wanted to win that for sure.
It might just be a mental thing. I don't know.
It might just be
Either way, I don't want to take too much away from Milan, right? Like, they definitely played well, and they deserved the win.
They deserved the win. Brahim Diaz was excellent. He's another one that, like, Madrid let go of. Madrid let go of, like, so many great players. I mean, it shows a lot about Madrid.
It's not like Madrid have been bad, right? So it's kind of just like, they've gotten rid of these players, but.
They can afford to because they have such a great team. Did you see what they did to Valladolid this weekend? 6-0. Benzema hat-trick.
Yeah, Benzema hat-trick. It's.
And Hazard play too.
For the first time in forever.
First time in forever. He had an assist. It was good for him. Hopefully he gets some minutes. But he's going to leave Madrid soon anyways. But yeah, I mean, I think it's a one-off for Milan. Not that it was a great one-off because they deserve the win. But from Napoli's side of view, like, I think they'll pick it up in the Champions League. I expect them to win the tie, honestly. Because they've played Milan before and they've won it, so. I think, like I said, this might be just a one-off. Mm-hmm. What do you think?
I think if these teams play each other 10 times, I think Napoli win it 8 times out of 10. So.
8 times out of 10? Okay, that's reasonable.
With a full roster.
With a full roster, yeah. The thing is that I don't know how bad Osimhen's injury is, but if he doesn't play, then it kind of changes everything.
They can afford to just rest him if he's not 100%. That's the thing.
Yeah. So. If he plays, it's a wrap.
If he's in form, yeah.
If he's in form, it's a wrap, yeah. I mean, Milan has a chance because of Leao and Diaz are in form right now. And Giroud can always pop up with a goal. I think he scored 2, by the way. True. So you can't underestimate them, but Napoli has the overall better team. So you would expect them, especially they have the best season overall in Europe. So you would expect them to get the job done. At least I expect them to. And I know most people do as well. You said you expect them to win?
Yeah, I expect them to win. I mean, how can you not?
How could you not, yeah. Have we gone through the Champions League quarterfinals? Have we gone through the quarters of the Champions League? Like, did we talk about that?
I don't think we talked about it. Maybe we can do that next week.
I mean, we talked about it a bit today. We always we said Bayern, Chelsea, Madrid. There's only, like, Benfica Inter that's, like, another interesting one. I think Benfica wins that, actually.
Against Inter, I wouldn't be surprised. I feel like the matchups, how they happened this year for the Champions League, we'll end on this, but I feel like the matchups really kind of like, they paired up with strength to strength. Like, Madrid-Chelsea, City-Bayern could have been the final.
Should have been the final, yeah.
Napoli-Milan, the two Serie A teams. Benfica-Inter, probably the two weakest teams remaining. They play each other. So, the way it matched up, you kind of get like, honestly, a lot of crazy matchups. Like, the two worst teams face each other. So, like, the second place team is probably going to get eliminated, and the seventh place team is still going to be remaining, right? So,
yeah,
you're going to have a very interesting Final Four. I'm interested to see who wins, but I think if I had to make a prediction, I'd go Bayern, Madrid, Napoli, Inter.
I have Bayern. I still want to say Chelsea. I don't know why. Maybe because I don't want Madrid to win again. But I'm going to say Chelsea just for the sake of it. I'm going to say Benfica and Napoli. So Benfica, Napoli, Chelsea, Bayern for me.
I guess we'll see.
Oh, Final Four. There's March Madness happening right now, actually. So we're going to go watch that.
Yeah, the game starts. It starts now, right?
Yeah, I think it just started.
Who you got?
UConn. It's not even close. Though. UConn destroyed
everyone. That's what I'm saying. They've been winning double digits like every game. There's just no way they lose this.
Yeah. Honestly, shocked. The final from the women's was much, much better.
Oh, yeah. You saw the drama?
Yeah, I saw the drama. It's a story for a different day, but yeah, it's a lot. Yeah. But overall, a great game for women's basketball. I think it was that was the big winner of that night, women's basketball overall.
I think a lot of people got hyped about it.
Yeah. All right,
let's wrap it up.
Let's wrap it up.
Episode 87 in the books. If you made it this far, I really appreciate it. Thanks for listening. Thanks for watching. Watch it with your ears. Yeah, we're on TikTok now. Give us a follow. What's the TikTok at?
Forward pressing 2022, I believe. If I say, I'll put it in the description.
Everybody, check the link in the description for all the socials on Twitter, on Instagram, on TikTok. Give us a follow so you're notified every time the episodes go live. And we hope to see you here next week. And peace.